Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Thank you, Sharon.
Been such a big week for you, hasn't it?
It certainly has, and certainly a big day today.
I bet it has been too. Let's go back to the beginning. When were you diagnosed with asbestosis, and how did you find out?
Way back in 98, actually. I went down the snowfields, and my youngest son and my darling wife, and we were all kitted up and ready to explore the fields. I just had great difficulty breathing. When I got back to Sydney, I was fine. I was able to breathe again okay. You know, that was during the snow season. And then by New Year's Eve, I was invited by a school parent, the King School, where my youngest son goes, to a New Year's Eve party. And this guy had said to me on a number of occasions, "Look, I'm sure I know you from somewhere." That night, his mum arrived at this party, and she saw me and I saw her. We met in the middle of the floor in tears because Peter's dad, Colin, had passed away some years earlier. And it turned out he used to be my shift foreman at Hardee's.
Right. So on that night, was there a sense of, oh dear, maybe I need to look into something here?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Within days, I went and saw a specialist and they confirmed my worst fears, and we then went on to have a case against Hardee's, which was settled back in 2000. So it was around about that time, or just after, one of my older brothers, Ted, who had been a shift foreman at Hardee's, passed away from an asbestos-related disease.
Mm. And what was your job back then at the James Hardee factory?
I was a process worker on a material called K-Lite, which is the lagging material for around steam pipes. So all the power stations up and down the eastern coast were made from this K-Lite material.
Yeah, I guess at that stage there was no question that the material that you were using was in any way dangerous.
They knew, of course, but failed to tell us or protect us in any way. They used to give us a glass bottle of milk per shift. That was to allay the dust in your throat.
Well, I actually heard that you were called the snowmen because you'd be covered in the white powder.
That's true. Mm. Hardee BI factory at Camellia was Hardee's worst factory. The place was just full of dust on a continual basis, and we were known as the snowmen because all you could see was our eyes.
The billion-dollar compensation deal that happened on Friday, what does it really mean for Australians from this point on? I mean, how many people do you think might claim between now and, I think they've got the 40-year cap on it?
Well, the best numbers that we can come up with, the best guesstimate numbers, because nobody actually knows, is 53,000 more people will be diagnosed with an asbestos-related disease by the year 2020. That is when we believe that the real peak will occur, and we're hopeful that the peak will then slowly dissipate. That is 53,000 people that would be directly affected by James Hardee.
Wow. All right, I didn't realise it was quite that large. James Hardee's chairwoman, Meredith Hellicar, this week said that there's no assurances about the payout because the number of claimants and the future performance of the company can't be guaranteed. And to a degree, I guess she's right, because 40 years down the track, where is James Hardee going to be as a company?
Oh, absolutely.
Does it concern you, though?
No, look, there can be no guarantees. The guarantee that we've sought is that an amount of money has been set aside, and to all our best guesstimates, this money will be sufficient. This compensation deal is unprecedented around the world. There is nowhere in the world where anybody has ever got such a payment. This is the largest corporate payout in Australia's corporate history.
And you mentioned before that you personally had your claim settled in 2000. So the fight really hasn't been about your own wallet. You've been doing this on behalf of other people too.
That's right. This has not been about Bernie Banton. This has been about all those other victims.
Yeah, which must make the victory this weekend ever so much sweeter.
Certainly does.
But what's the toll been, Bernie, on your marriage, on your family, on your finances, everything else, particularly on your health?
It has been it's been really tough. No one will ever know just how tough it has been. But, you know, with the support of so many family and friends, and, you know, with the belief in God that that good will overcome evil on every occasion, you know, without that strength and faith, I doubt we'd have been able to carry on, because we've had so many obstacles put in our path. Hardies have been extremely difficult to deal with. But, you know, we're very grateful. God has given us the strength to get through this. In all the fights and all the stuff and the rotten letters we received and all the stuff that, you know, you can look back and smile about today, but at the time they were really harsh to deal with.
Yeah. With the whole move that James Hardie did over to the Netherlands, there was some question mark as to whether they were running away from this responsibility. I know that the company themselves say that they were just taking advantage of, tax breaks over there. Did you think that they were running away from this particular...
Absolutely, they were leaving their liabilities here in shelf companies, and there was no doubt about that.
Well, one of the little-known aspects is what you've alluded to there, your Christian faith. I don't think that that's ever come through in the media reports that I've heard when you've been, and you have been in the media so much over the last 7 years. Tell me a little bit about your faith then. I believe your father was a minister. Where did it start in your own heart then?
Well, a long time ago, I gave my heart to the Lord, and like many people, drifted away. But in later life, I realised, you know, that there is nowhere else to hide or to seek shelter. And, you know, without that faith, I don't believe we'd have got this deal up. There's been so many prayers over many years go up. And our local church has been so supportive all the way through. You just can't put enough emphasis on how much prayer has worked to get this result.
Yeah, isn't it special? Have there been any special verses of the Bible or anything that have particularly been a strength for you? Or?
Well, there has, actually. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help?
That's right.
And, you know, I've relied on that.
I bet you have. And you're talking about the sense that comes from the Christian faith that good in the end is going to overcome evil because God is the Lord of good. Did you have any sense, though, that that might be within your lifetime, or did you think could be?
I never once doubted that we would get this deal up. There were lots of doubting people, and lots of people came and told me, this won't happen. And I said, well, I believe it will. You know, good will triumph over evil.
Yeah. Bernie, I'm thinking that there are a lot of people out there who are facing their own battles for justice in some kind of way. It might be with a tyrannical boss. It might be a relational problem. It might be a husband or a wife who is being difficult when it comes to child custody. I don't know what it might be. What lessons would you give to other people who are going through some sort of bad trial that they need to get to the other end of?
Don't give up. Don't take no for an answer. If you believe in your heart that yes is the answer, don't settle for anything less. And, you know, if you have that faith in God, you can win over monstrous odds. And, you know, we've proven that. There were so many people that were saying, you know, what a waste of time these people are, you know, taking on a corporate giant like this. You know, they'll be able to walk away. And even when the Commission of Inquiry found that they had no legal obligation, even then, I didn't take a backward step. I said, well, morally, they've got to pay. And I believe in the end, that's what really brought them to their knees, the morality of the issues.
Yeah. Well, your prayers have finally been answered, and I guess you'll be doing a lot of thanking and praising in the next few weeks.
Absolutely.
Bernie, congratulations on the victory and for championing it for other people as well. I think that's the, like you said, that what makes the victory that much sweeter.
Oh, it makes it ever so sweet. Nobody can say, hey, you only did it for yourself. No, I didn't.
Possibly 50,000 odd people could well be the beneficiaries.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Bernie, thank you for your time at Open House. It's been great to have you.
My pleasure, Sharon. Yeah. Thanks so much for talking with me.
That's Bernie Banton, asbestos victim and a campaigner, and what a great victory he has had this week.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.